Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday's program, the interview with Dr. David Kyle Foster on Vimeo, removing 850 Christian videos from their platform. That was a stunner. I was so very thankful for Dr. Foster being so open, I think somewhat courageous in the discussion we had about how Christian leaders are falling in line with the homosexual agenda. And so that, of course, is devastating. We ask God to bless the churches around this country that have not yet bowed the knee to political correctness, moral relativism, humanism. So thank you to Dr. David Kyle Foster, and we'll continue to let you know about his ministry. He's got that new video coming out on transgenderism, that should be fabulous. Also, I'd like to talk about the United Airlines dragging incident and a little bit about Bill O'Reilly and the woman who is taking down his career, possibly Wendy Walsh. And also, Doug McBurney and Hillary Clinton apparently agreeing on at least one thing about WikiLeaks when Hillary said, "Can't we just drone Julian Assange?" Remember that? Because of all the leaks that was demolishing her presidential campaign. And I remember years ago, Doug McBurney being so enraged over the actions of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. So he's not here today. So I'll have to ask him when I see him on Sunday at Denver Bible Church if that is, in fact, something that he and Hillary agrees on, because her comment has been floating around in the news. And so I just happened to see that today, and I wondered, maybe that is a point of agreement between Doug McBurney and Hillary Clinton. Okay, so United Airlines, the dragging incident. I'm surprised how many populist opinions I have heard expressed about this from talk show hosts criticizing United Airlines, including from Bill O'Reilly. Now, was that, I seem to recall that was his last program before his alleged vacation. You know, a populist is someone who will say what the masses want to hear. And so about 60 advertisers had moved their spots off of the O'Reilly Factor, and he had one program that week that was abruptly cut short, 15 minutes short. Then he did that show and disappeared. They say he's on vacation and he's scheduled to return April 24th. We'll see. I don't know. It might depend somewhat on what Wendy Walsh has to say about that. But at any rate, with O'Reilly being besieged, being attacked, I mean, 60, and these are major advertisers, removing their spots. As of right now, Tuesday, April 18th, I think there is one national advertiser left that hasn't yet moved their spots off of Bill O'Reilly's program, and that's Angie's List, and that's about it. But when you're under siege, there is a real temptation then to try to buttress your position yourself by going populist and by saying what the masses want to hear. And by the time O'Reilly mentioned this, it was already clear that the feeding frenzy against United Airlines had fully and completely taken the side of the passenger. So, like many of you, I have flown on hundreds of flights. In fact, for some years, I was a 1K at United. And a 1K was their lingo for passengers who would fly over 100,000 miles per year. So I was a 1K. I used to get freebies up in first class. I had one flight when I sat next to the president of United Airlines the whole flight, and he asked me as a 1K if I had any suggestions for the airline. That might have been one of the last times he asked any passenger that question. But someday I'd love to share the suggestions that I gave to him. And I have been on a flight where everyone is in their seats and you're at the jetway, and then the cabin crew, somebody, a stewardess, somebody comes and says, we need people to leave the flight. And so I've seen that happen. One time it was incredibly humiliating. It was TWA. I used to call them Teeny Weeny Airlines. And it was a flight from, I believe, South Bend, Indiana to St. Louis, Missouri. And it was a small prop plane. And this big old gal was seated in an aisle seat. And a steward comes on the plane and looks around and says, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to ask you to get up and leave the flight. And she was like shocked, of course. And the reason for her was way worse than this physician guy. The reason was the flight was overweight. There was too much weight on the flight. And she was the heaviest passenger, and they asked her to leave. It was unbelievably embarrassing. I felt so bad for that poor gal. I certainly would have gotten off the flight myself, but it wouldn't have helped. So at any rate, as a ticketed passenger, you agree to comply with any lawful instruction from the flight crew. If you haven't taken off yet, I mean, they didn't ask this guy to jump out of the plane at 30,000 feet. They didn't ask him that. I mean, they were still there at the gate. And they said, we have a need for this seat, and we need you to deplane. And he refused. So your ticket doesn't give you the right to disagree with the flight crew. So when they ask you that you need to leave the plane, then you need to gather your carry-on and belongings and leave the flight. That's it. That's called being a mature adult. That's not the time to try to change airline policy. When the plane is filled with passengers and they're getting ready to taxi to the runway and take off, and you've decided you're not going to comply with the flight crew. If the airline is mistreating you, you have many options, especially today. You take legal action, you write a letter to the board of directors, you go to Facebook and Twitter, you call the media, you pull your phone out and videotape everything happening. But one of your lawful options is not that I refuse to comply with the cabin crew instructions. That's not one of your options. And so then when they call security or the police and say, this guy will not leave the plane, have you ever been on an airplane? You know, it's sort of cramped conditions. And you have an adult man who's refusing to comply. What do you think? It's going to be pretty when they remove him from his seat? It's not going to be pretty. It'll be pretty ugly. And it was. And it was appropriate. So hopefully you would not want to be on a flight where the flight crew asks someone to leave the plane and they say, no, I'm not going to. I mean, who's in charge of the airlines? When you're on a plane and you're all going to end up 30,000 feet up in the air, everyone's lives, we're in a unique situation where we can be at risk in a way that we're not at risk in a restaurant. In a restaurant on the ground, sure, there are risks everywhere. But when you're up in the air, there are greater risks. There are unique risks. And so there is an additional requirement of compliance with a flight attendant as compared to, let's say, a waitress. All right? So you simply comply with the airline representative. And so here's Bill O'Reilly, who must feel like he's being hit by RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades, with advertiser after advertiser. It must have been every hour They heard from one or two new major advertisers. They want it off the O'Reilly Factor because of all his sexual harassment of women, which is evident even as a viewer. Even as a viewer. I mean, not to the extent of criminal behavior, but to the extent of his demeaning treatment of women, even as a viewer. So Wendy Walsh comes along. She's not one of the women who threatened a lawsuit or who sued or asked for a multi-million-dollar settlement. Bill O'Reilly has paid out apparently about $13 million to five different women, associates, women who either they were producers or guests or somehow involved with his program at Fox News, the Fox News channel, $13 million to five different women. And so what my wife Cheryl and I, what we noticed, and when we got married, we didn't have TV. TV is quite a temptation just to veg out and not have a relationship with your family, not accomplish work. So at any rate, we didn't have a TV for some time. And then 9/11, we were attacked by Islamic terrorists. And a lot of what's happening, you know, you have a desire to keep up with it. And so we put in cable TV so that we could watch the news. And then when we went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and being a talk show host, of course, you want to be informed. But we would see Bill O'Reilly, who we probably watched once a week on average, once or twice a week, since 9/11. And he would find a way to invite a beautiful young guest out to dinner, maybe a Fox contributor. If she were a Fox contributor, maybe they disagreed on something, he'd make her a bet, and whoever wins the bet gets to pick which restaurant they go to for dinner. Or if it's a guest, he'd invite her out to dinner. And we noticed that he never invited an older woman out to dinner. He never invited a heavy woman out to dinner. He never invited a male guest out to dinner. Only young, beautiful women, and it was overtly obvious. And it's just one of the many things that made us sick about Bill O'Reilly and how obviously demeaning he is toward his wife. We never hear about her, but apparently she exists. And so when Wendy Walsh came out against Bill O'Reilly and said, I'm not suing. I don't want a settlement. I just want an apology for what he had done. And she's a talk show host in California, and she's a psychologist. And her Bill O'Reilly's secretary had contacted her and arranged a dinner meeting. And she said, was this a date? Of course this wasn't a date. I'm married. He's married. I wanted to be a Fox contributor. And so at dinner in Los Angeles, right near his hotel, Bill O'Reilly tells Wendy Walsh, according to her side of the story, that she's in at Fox. She doesn't need to worry. She doesn't have to worry about Roger Ailes. Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes are best friends. He's going to put in the word for her, and she will be a Fox contributor. And of course, that even if you're successful, then that makes your career one time over again. And so she's thrilled to hear this at dinner. And then after the dinner, Wendy Walsh says that Bill O'Reilly invites her up to his hotel room. And she was surprised and said, well, of course not, Bill. And he wanted her to go to his hotel room. And she said, Bill, you have teenage kids. I have children. We're married. You need to make good decisions. I'm not going to your room. And then within minutes, it was, you're no good at this business. You don't have a future here. You got an ugly purse anyway. And that was it. It was over. And she was, and her take on it was that either she was going to go to him to his hotel room, or he would work to keep her off of Fox News. That's how she took it. And you know what? There's quite a few other women who've taken it similarly, not exactly those options, but similarly from Bill O'Reilly, and even worse. So I was rather thankful that I sent an email to Wendy Wright this past weekend, and she put me in touch with her attorney, Lisa Bloom, and so we've emailed back and forth a few times, and the reason I did was because the corporate climate of sexual harassment at the Fox News Channel goes back at least two decades. And unfortunately, I had a front row seat to it. I saw it when I was there. Fox flew me from here in Denver to New York City to appear on a Sunday night program to discuss the wildings in New York City. If you remember that, young men who were groping women, strangers in the streets, in Central Park, along parade routes. And so I was an outspoken voice admonishing the culture for its sexually degrading behavior and its disappearing standards of morality. And so I was invited on, and it was quite a joke they played on me, and I was the victim of sexual harassment, but this was against a man. And they had a panel discussion. The host was Rob Nelson, and Coolio the first big rapper in the U.S.? Coolio, he was on the panel. I was on the panel. There's an actress from some Hollywood sitcom. She's on the panel, another guy. And this actress, 10 minutes into a one-hour taping, she got up out of her seat and walked across the stage to me, and she sexually harassed me in view of the cameras while we're taping. It was so horrific. So it wasn't just words said. It wasn't just innuendo. It was physical sexual harassment. So I just started to unbuckle my microphone that's on your shirt, took it off, got up, and walked off the set without saying a word. They had 1 hour show to tape. This was Rob Nelson at the time. This was his big opportunity. The Hollywood Reporter, the New York Post, everybody was writing about Rob Nelson gets his own talk show. So I got up and left, and my brother Brian Enyart, had come into the city from Hawthorne, New Jersey, where he was living at the time, to see his brother being interviewed on national television to talk about the need for decency and morality in America. Didn't they set me up? What a joke they played on me. So we left the building, asked directions to the nearest New York Police Department station, NYPD station. We went right to a police station and asked to file a complaint on sexual harassment. And the officer is very professional. He was very polite. But basically he said something like, well, you know, this was on TV and this was at Fox, you know, rolling his eyes. Because I don't know if you guys remember, but today Fox is, you know, they're pretty newsy today. But this was just before 9/11. And so they were way more slutty then they even are now. Today, a number of Fox News women, they like to think they're foxy. So they dress the way they would dress to go to a nightclub to try to pick up a guy. That's how they dress. And with the current catastrophe that is Bill O'Reilly. Cheryl pointed out to me in the last couple of days, the women on Fox have been dressing more modestly. I thought, wow, well, that be something, right? If something good came from it and women learned to be respectful of themselves. So I just wanted Paul Weiss to know, that's the law firm in Manhattan that's doing the investigation into the sexual harassment allegations against Bill O'Reilly. I wanted them to know, and Lisa Bloom, she is Wendy Walsh's attorney, that this corporate culture of approving of sexual harassment has been there at Fox now for 20 years. And in my case, it was affirmed corporately. Management was aware and the executives were aware. How could I know that? Because they turned that little segment, that 15-second segment, into a promo, into an advertisement for that episode. And it ran all week until the airing of that show. It was probably the highest rated Rob Nelson show in his whole history at Fox News. And so they all thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And it was humiliating. I mean, I'm a talk show host, so you know, some people could take things easier than other people. You get thick skin, but it's pretty disgusting. And if a man did anything like that to a woman, most likely the man closest would punch that guy right in the face in Christian love. So at any rate, Fox News, they're a bunch of child killers or child killing supporters. So it amounts to the same thing, right? Adolf Hitler never actually killed anyone, did he? With his own hands? But he's responsible for the 6 million in the Holocaust and the other millions who met violent deaths because of him. And then so too the supporters of Adolf Hitler, those who dismissed the fact that he was murderous and that he would intentionally kill the innocent, that he would support the killing of the innocent. And so we have that today in our culture. So we have politicians, including Donald Trump, who supports the killing, the intentional killing of some children. Now it's, I realize he's done things that the previous Republican presidents have done, like affirm the Hyde Amendment and the Mexico City policy, the domestic and the foreign legislation that says we're not going to fund abortion. And when George W. Bush affirmed the Hyde Amendment, he then went on to give Planned Parenthood $2 billion. And he said, well, that we're not breaking the law because we're not giving this to them for abortion. We're giving it to them so that they could pay their sewage and their mortgages and those kinds of bills. So isn't that just great? You give money to abortionists and you say, just don't use it for abortion. So we'll see. But Donald Trump affirms that he advocates killing some children. And since he has been president, Planned Parenthood has received from the federal government about $100 million. And he has fought to stop waste in other ways, even in contracts that were entered into before he became president. He's fought to make sure that money's not wasted, but somehow the $100 million that has already gone to Planned Parenthood under the Trump administration has escaped his notice. Do you remember his speech to the joint session of Congress? It was somewhat of a lengthy speech. He highlighted all the issues that he had raised during the campaign, of all the things that he is going to accomplish. Wow, what a great speech it was. And the most important thing, the most telling thing, was what he said about abortion. Do you remember what he said? I'm asking those in the studio audience. Anybody remember what Donald Trump said about, oh, you do. One of our audience members remembers. Yeah, you're right. Zero. He said absolutely nothing. Isn't that something? Child killing. Over 1 million children a year slaughtered in America. And you campaign as a pro-life hero of the universe. And you get this national stage as the president of the United States to a joint session of Congress with the U.S. Supreme Court justices there. And you say not one word. And that was the truth. That was the truth. Everything else is campaigning. Everything else is campaigning. So signing the Mexico City policy, as every Republican has done since Ronald Reagan, is pro forma. That's just what Republicans do so they could whip up Christian votes in the next election, midterms, and so on. The Hyde Amendment has loopholes big enough through which you can drive a school bus of dead children every hour. And we have, right? George W. Bush, said to be the most pro-life president we've ever had by National Right to Life and many other delusional so-called pro-lifers. And they completely, when they give the glowing A-plus report card for George W. Bush as a pro-life president, they completely ignore the fact that he gave to Planned Parenthood $2 billion. And they ignore the fact that during his 8 years as president, nationwide, he supported the killing of over 3 million children by his own exceptions. And those exceptions, you know, Eve, when she disobeyed God and she ate from the fruit of the tree, God didn't look at all the fruit that Eve did not eat. He looked at the exception. And when David committed that crime against Bathsheba, God didn't look at all the women that David did not assault or seduce. Herod, God did not look at all the children that King Herod didn't kill. The Fox News exceptions, all those kids that they support killing or that they tolerate killing or that they lie about who killed. So this couldn't happen to a better network, more deserving. But at any rate, hey, this is Bob Inyart. May God bless you.
Hello, I'm Josh Craddock, and at 14 years old, I'm a little partial to Bob Inyart's manuscript, The Plot, since I helped with The Plot Boys, a series of audio Bible studies for junior high and high school students like me who want to dig deeper and better understand the Bible. The Plot is an overview of the entire Bible, because once you understand the overview of the Bible, then you have the key to understanding its details. And that's what makes the entire Bible fun to read. So please order your copy of The Plot today. Call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And remember, your support, both prayerfully and financially, keeps Bob Inyart live on the air. Thank you.